Well, welcome to Footnotes for Faith, where each week we take a few minutes to expand our understanding of the Christian faith, connect Scripture to life, and consider the claims of Jesus. Glad to have you with us again for this episode of Footnotes for Faith. My name is Scott Fisher, a pastor at Delaware Valley Christian Church in Media, Pennsylvania, just outside the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. Great to have you with us. Last week, we were anticipating the solar eclipse, and so I'd be interested to know what your experience with that was. My experience was that in the Philadelphia area, there was about an 80% coverage of the sun by the moon, but it was sunny all day, and then just about the time we would have the largest amount of coverage, it got cloudy. So didn't really see too well. I saw some of it earlier, but just from watching TV and interacting with others, I realized some people had some pretty awesome experiences. My sister-in-law was able to be in a spot where she was able to see the totality, and she was greatly impressed with it, and she's not a person that's necessarily easy to impress in that way. So the fact that she really had a powerful experience says a lot about the nature of it. I would love to have that, but now I'm going to have to wait 20 years, I guess, for the next opportunity, and hopefully I'll still be around then. But anyway, I don't know what your experience was like, but it looks like for those that were able to see the total eclipse, it sounds like a very powerful experience. In fact, it seems like for some people, it's almost akin to a religious experience when you see how people are overwhelmed, really, by the experience. And I think it's very interesting. I did read something that was posted on social media that I really liked by somebody named R.L. Solberg, who I looked up, and he is a Christian professor and apologist or defender of the Christian faith. And I liked what he wrote, and he said this: "An eclipse is a cosmic reminder that the universe is not a random collection of matter and events that happened by chance. The cosmos is so finely tuned that we can know precisely where every heavenly body will be 200 years from now, down to the minute. These events remind us that the universe is not an accident, and neither are we. God made both, and He is in control." I really, really like that. And again, that's R.L. Solberg. And I noticed he actually has a website that you can access that has a lot of other great material there. But that's one of the things for me, one of the takeaways for me of these kind of events is just the awesomeness with which we can see such evidence of the fine tuning of the of the universe in such a way that things can be predicted so many years ahead of time just based on the way that we know the universe is constructed. And I believe as a believer in God and a follower of Jesus that points to someone who fine-tuned it. And we can talk about that, and we will talk about that more in future episodes, the relationship between science and faith, and some folks have asked about that. So anyway, so that was a great event of this past week, and I hope that wherever you were able to at least experience it to some degree as you would choose to. So this week I wanted to talk a little bit about prayer. That's a topic that I want to talk about from time to time, because in our Christian experience and our following of Jesus, there are some core and some key, again, basic elements to our spiritual lives that help sustain us spiritually, help us stay connected closely with God. And among those, of course, would be Scripture, taking in Scripture, whether individually or in a Bible study or at church. The community of believers is very important, that we are connected to a broader community for encouragement, for accountability, for lots of different benefits to being in a community. But then prayer is really one of those real essential aspects of our life with God and our relationship, ongoing relationship with God. And I'm just going to confess that for me personally, prayer is one of the most difficult of the various means by which I connect with God. And there's a lot of different reasons for that, I'm sure, that I could unpack, and maybe it is for you too. And I suspect a lot of it has to do with busyness of our society, the fact that I can be easily distracted, the fact that my mind can be racing at times and it's hard for me to calm down and concentrate. I think also for many of us, it's the emphasis of our society, or especially our Western and American society, on productivity, an overemphasis really, I think, on that, so that anything that we're, when we're doing, it seems like we're not doing anything that we can actually show results for. We feel like we're either lazy or being unproductive, or we're wasting our time. So I think that prayer can fit into that if we're not careful to kind of evaluate what we're thinking about it. And so I know that this is an area for my life that I'm constantly seeking to give attention to, so that I can improve in this area, in the sense of just really, and remember, it's all about improving, not as an end of itself, in and of itself, but so that we can be closer to Christ and closer to God, and be more effective in our Christian experience. And I would say this, I admire deeply people for whom prayer is a strength in their walk with God. And I've known many people over the years as a Christian for whom prayer is like their strong point. And we all have gifts in different areas that are given to us by God. And I really think that this is an area of gifting for some people. They just are very, very strong, and especially strong in the intercession for others. And in the Christian culture, we often refer to them as prayer warriors. And what we mean by that is they're people that really, really go to God with prayer and intercede in an intense and focused way. And if you have the privilege of knowing some of those kind of people around you, they're the ones you want to bring your requests to. They're the ones you want to say, hey, would you pray about this? Because they're the kind of people that you know that they're going to pray about it. You can take that to the bank. And I have several people in my life like that, that when I have something I really need to have prayed about, I will go to them, and I don't have any doubt at all that they're going to really take that seriously. They're going to follow up and ask me about it. Not like many of us. Like, I'll confess sometimes, you know, I'll say to somebody, oh yeah, I'll pray for that. And I mean it. I intend to. And then sometimes I forget if I don't write it down. And so I can sometimes forget to pray for things I've said I will pray for. And that's true for many of us, I think. But these are folks that they don't forget. And so I really admire them. And I can definitely learn a lot from them. So I say that to say I'm not coming on this topic or to this topic with the idea that I have this figured out. I don't. And that's true of almost all the areas of Christian living, right? We're all on a journey here, so we're sharing what we've learned. So I want to share something that's helped me, that several years ago that I began to study and did some teaching on in the area of prayer. And I think, first of all, I want to say this. Let's remember, just for the sake of definition, that prayer, in its simplest way of thinking about it, is talking to God. Prayer is talking to God. So we need to demystify prayer, that it is communication with God, talking to God, whether in our hearts silently or in verbally, just like we would talk to any other person, because God is a person, and he's a person who wants to hear what we have to say according to the Bible. He's a person who wants to hear and is always available, which is quite unusual, and not nobody else in our lives is always available. And for me, when I think about prayer, I think for me, my struggle sometimes is I don't have as much of a struggle believing in the power of God to do whatever he chooses to do or in the universe. But I think, if I'm really honest, my struggle at times is, how is a God that has created the entire known universe concerned about me personally? Like, why would God care about some of the minute details of one individual? Even if you just take the earth as it exists now and the billions of people that live on planet Earth and all the prayers that are going up to God at once, why would God be personally how concerned for me? And I know that's, you know, the Psalms, David says something like that, you know, what is man, David says in the Psalms, that you are mindful of him when we consider all that you've created. So maybe your struggle is a different one, but for me, it's remembering and believing, I guess it's believing, that God is personally concerned for the details of my life. But that's what Jesus teaches. Jesus tells us about prayer, and he teaches a lot about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7, and other places where we see in there the Lord's model prayer of the Our Father. And I remember when I first became a Christian and my friends in high school were shocked that I had become religious in the way they saw it, of course, and I was not a person that was that way before, and so it was quite a shock to my buddies in high school that all of a sudden this guy they knew in a different way was now talking about God and Christ and the Bible. So my conversion came as a shock to my friends and my family, and it was hard for them to adapt to that reality. But I remember one time trying to explain my faith to my friends, and one of my friends was trying to get a grasp of what had happened to me and what he thought about what had happened to me. And I remember one time early on in my Christian experience, he said to me, "All right, well, tell me you're not one of those people who prays for a parking space, please." And I got to admit, I just let it go. I didn't have the guts to say anything. I didn't say, "Oh, yeah, of course I would." But his point was, you're not one of these people that thinks God cares about where you park, right? And I get it, I guess. I mean, framed that way, it does sound kind of ridiculous. But the thing he was getting at is you don't really think God cares about the details of your life. I mean, you're not going to be praying about that, right? And of course, I believe that God does care about those things. He says that we should bring everything to him. And that's amazing to me. So part of the believing, part of prayer is the acceptance and the understanding and the belief that God is concerned about every detail of our lives and that we can just talk to him. Helpful to me in my journey as well has been considering all the short prayers of the Bible. And that's what I kind of wanted to talk about in the few minutes we have left. And that is, as I began to look at the Bible about prayer, and I saw how many times there were just these very short prayers that people offered up to God and how God responded. And of course, Jesus, when you look at the Gospels, he taught something very similar. He said it's not the length of your prayer that matters. It's not who you pray in front of. It's not how many words that you use that make the difference. No, none of that is important. It's that you're talking to the true and the living God. And so the reason I think the short prayers of the Bible encourage me is because sometimes I can feel like, well, I need to spend tons and long periods of time in prayer, which of course is good if we can, or perhaps I haven't framed things the right way, or just the feeling that does God really, since I haven't been praying maybe as much as I think I should be praying, has God really listening to these prayers? Are these prayers effective if they're very short? And so when I began to look at some of these short prayers of the Bible, it began to really help me realize that I need to come to God at any time of the day or the night, even if I just have one quick opportunity in the middle of my day to say a short prayer to God, that prayer is just as effective as when I can spend more time in prayer or when I can spend more time meditating on his word and talking to him at a longer time. And so there's a story in the Old Testament that really, the one that probably spoke to me the most, and I think it illustrates so much important stuff about prayer. I won't read it to you because of time, but it's found in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 to 40, and you can read the whole story later. But the story is basically about in the time of Israel's history when there was a lot of turning away from God, and the prophet Elijah was a true prophet, and he came along to try to demonstrate to the people of Israel the difference between the true God and the false gods that they were worshiping, which in that time that particular false god was called Baal. And there were all these prophets of Baal, false prophets leading the people astray, and Elijah was one of the few true prophets. And so Elijah in chapter 18 of 1 Kings sets up this kind of a contest for the people to see, let's see who the true God is. And so he tells the prophets of Baal to build an altar. And he says, look, build this altar and we'll offer a sacrifice. And the true God is the God who answers our prayer by bringing fire onto the altar. So the prophets of Baal, they set up their altar. And it says they go on and on, really all day and into the evening, calling out to their God, crying out to their God, and the reality is, as it says at the end of verse 29, no one answered and no one paid attention. It tells us that they cried out, "Oh, Baal, answer this, answer us," but there was no voice. No one answered. And they limped around the altar they had made. And it tells us that Elijah mocked them, "Cry aloud, for he is God." Either he is musing or he even says he is relieving himself. In other words, maybe he's going to the bathroom or he's on a journey or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened. And it says they cried aloud and cut themselves after their customs with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. But nothing happened. And so this is the one side. So the one side does all this all day, all night. They say all their incantations. They cut themselves. They bleed. Not a thing happens. So then Elijah says, okay, well, they're done. So he says, we repair the altar. So they repair the altar. And then he says to them something amazing. He says, fill four jars of with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And then they do that, and they do it a second time. And then they do it a third time. And so there was so much water, it says, that the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. So what is Elijah doing? He's just raising the stakes. He's saying, you know, it's not good enough just to repair the altar. Let's pour and drench it with water. Let's make it as difficult as possible and make it impossible for anyone to doubt that this is God. And so think about it. The prophets of Baal had gone on morning, noon, and night, and nothing happened. And then this is what happens. And it says that at the time of the offering of the sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near, and this was his prayer. He said, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back." That's it. That's the prayer. Couple sentence prayer. And it says, verse 38, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" I think that's an amazing story. And beyond just being an amazing story, it illustrates what I'm saying about prayer. And that is this short, this concise call from Elijah to God is all that was needed for God to work. And why was that? Because what Elijah was showing the people was it's because it's all about who's listening, not about how long the prayer is, how much energy goes into the prayer, but who's listening. And when the true God is listening, that makes all the difference. So we might say it's not so much the power of prayer, but the power of the God who hears the prayer. James 5:16, speaking of Elijah in another context, says, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." The prayer of a righteous person. And remember that for those of us that are in Jesus, we're righteous through Jesus. We're righteous because we have been given by the grace of God, his righteousness. So help is a prayer. Have mercy on me is a prayer. Strengthen me is a prayer. Deliver me is a prayer. Forgive me is a prayer. There's no secret code or abracadabra. God is there. God is there. He is listening. He is listening. Call out to him morning, noon, or night. So what I want to encourage you, as I encourage my own heart, is don't think to yourself, "Well, I don't have time to pray. I'll have to wait till I get home." But in the midst of whatever you're going through, just take a moment. You can pray even while you're talking to someone else, as you direct your thoughts to God and say, "God, help me in this moment." It could be at work when you have a challenging situation. It could be at home when you're taking care of your children. It could be any number of situations, every situation. And you know, as a father, we have a loving Heavenly Father. And as a father, I've always was glad when my children came to me and spoke to me and shared something with me, no matter how long or short it was. And that's how God is. And so that's a little bit about prayer, and we'll certainly talk about prayer more. If you have any questions about this topic or any other topic, always feel free to contact us. I'd love to hear from you. So thanks again for listening. If you enjoy Footnotes for Faith, please take a second to leave a 5-star rating on whatever platform you listen to the show on, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another platform. Your feedback helps us reach more people and continue to improve the show. And as always, always, you can email feedback, questions, or suggestions for future episodes directly to footnotespod@visitdvcc.org. And we do enjoy hearing from you. And Fisher Media is the producer of Footnotes for Faith. So have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you next time.